Hello, good day to everybody. You have joined the PR Essentials Summit, SEO everything. I'm very excited to have this session today. And with us, we have Grady Moore, who is our resident SEO expert at the Silver Telegram, but also an SEO consultant who basically does everything SEO, content writing, everything. Grady's our go-to guy.
Welcome to the PR Playbook Podcast, the only podcast giving you actionable skills and advice you need to execute a strategic PR program. Warning, what you hear next may lead to brand awareness and increased sales and customer exposure. Now here's your host, Ringini Joshua.
Hello and welcome to the PR Essentials Summit series. This is our third year running with the PR Essentials Summit, where we talk to experts about what happened in 2023 and what we foresee for future trends in different industries, including social media, SEO, obviously PR, media relations, journalism, content development. And so I hope you guys enjoy this series as we kick off the new year and get ready to build proactive strategies to make your communications programs better. And as always, make sure you email me if you have any questions, Ringini@thesilvertelegram.com. Enjoy the series. Grady, thanks for joining us today at the PR Essentials Summit.
Happy to be here and always happy to talk about SEO.
Yes. Now more than ever, I think everyone's getting inundated with SEO requests and all these different agencies coming after you saying they're going to improve your SEO, they're going to give you quality backlinks. And I think the job of a marketing person is getting a lot more complicated because you feel as a marketing person like you have to have SEO, but sometimes it's a little bit difficult to know where to start. So I think that was the purpose of why we wanted to talk about SEO today, was really how to talk about SEO from a perspective of what you need, what it is, what you need, and then how to weave it into all of your content, correct?
Yep. And then I think too, it's important to, because SEO is constantly changing, I think it's important to look at what's happened this year, sort of do a recap of this year, and then kind of what we're looking forward to in 2024 as far as changes in the world of SEO.
And that, does that have to do, I'm going to, spoiler alert, will it have to do a little bit with AI as well?
Oh my God. So much to do with AI.
All right.
That's not necessarily a good thing. We'll find out.
Okay. Let's get started.
Ooh. Well, you've introduced me and as everybody already knows, you're the Wonder Woman of the Silver Telegram.
Thank you.
You've mentioned sort of the agenda, but few of the questions and topics that I also want to hit on are, is SEO answering the question, is SEO still worthwhile? How it's changed this year, sort of an outlook of 2024, as much as we can look forward into the future. The recommended tools, or at least the tools that I've used in 2023 and what I expect to be popular tools in 2024, answering the age-old question, when is it time to hire a pro? And then lastly, we'll just have a Q&A session. So let's hop in. Is SEO still worthwhile? Next to, is it time to hire a pro? Asking if SEO is still a thing is a pretty common question. And it's completely valid, especially considering how rapidly the SEO world is changing. To answer that question in a nutshell, absolutely. It's probably more vital and essential your brand now than ever before. I read a survey that came out this year that found that I think it was 63% of people now report using a search engine to learn about a product prior to making a purchase. And 56% of consumers said that those search engine results determine, or the search engine results rankings determine if they purchase a product or a service. So, if your brand has competitors and what brand doesn't, it doesn't matter if it's your product or your service is the best price, the best in the marketplace, has the most options, you name it. If your competition is showing up before you in the search engine results, you are absolutely losing market share to competitors who have a better SEO strategy.
Well, and just to kind of talk about this as the worthwhile part, you know, I feel like people have either become hypersensitive to SEO or like optimizing everything that they have, or they're totally desensitized because there's too many things, so many options about SEO, or like too many rules. And I feel like Google has kind of made it a little cumbersome for like the normal person who feels like SEO is like a black pit that they're going to fall into.
I mean, they've made it cumbersome for SEO professionals as well. They're intentionally vague about changes that they make. They don't want people gaming the system. But yeah, you know, you're right. People, there are so many small details in the world of SEO that I want to say they don't matter, but it's not low hanging fruit. And so you have a lot of fly by night SEO professionals who say, oh yeah, I can fix this. I can correct this issue on your website. And it's not going to make the impact that you're looking for. You know, a few of the other things, branding and credibility. As far as SEO being worth it these days, you know, I always like to ask the question, if you're in a new town and you're trying to decide between two restaurants, which one are you going to choose? The one that, you know, shows up on the first page of Google, has an easy to navigate website, you know, they've got 5-star reviews and they're top ranked, or the restaurant that maybe somebody recommended, but you can't find them on Google, their website's terrible, or even worse, it just links to their Facebook page or something.
Right.
you know, kind of a rhetorical question. Most people are going to go with the one that is, you know, has gone through a vetted source and has that credibility. You know, another thing is just user experience. Like I touched on the website, you know, your user experience within the website. So if a website is not mobile friendly, if it's slow, if you know, don't even have a website in some cases, or it's impossible to find, that's, you know, you're losing market share to your competitors at that point.
Well, and user experience is basically equivalent to like your digital customer experience, right? Like you go to a restaurant, you have a shitty waiter, then it's like that same thing. You have a shitty website, or you have a one page website, or it's like just the menu. I mean, we're talking about that restaurant example, right? Where it, like you pop it, like you said, for what you said, it goes to Facebook page, or it just pops up a HTML website or something. Oh, God. You know, it's like, it's definitely customer experience focused. And I think now people are so hypersensitive to getting a very good customer experience. Otherwise they're mad. They're like angry at this point.
Yep. Yeah, no, you're exactly right. It's, you know, I catch myself at times if I'm looking at a restaurant's website and it's slow or difficult to navigate, I can't help but, you know, start thinking, okay, if this is how they treat their own brand, what kind of experience am I going to have here?
Right.
You know, another thing is just looking at that quality and quantity of organic traffic. So if you don't have a robust SEO strategy these days, you're pretty much relying on people remembering your brand or your business's URL and manually typing that into their browser to find you. Versus, say, a competitor who may have that solid SEO strategy, it puts you in a position where it's like, well, you know, I can't remember the exact name of this company, but oh, let me Google it. Google will help fill those gaps. And so people are impatient and people forget things. So I don't think it's a wise decision, especially now more than ever, to rely on someone remembering your website or your brand's URL and then manually typing that in and spelling it correctly versus just showing up, driving that organic traffic and being, you know, having placement in the Google ecosystem.
Yeah, fair.
And then lastly is just a 30,000 foot view. You know, each of the SEO optimization tasks ultimately leads to an improvement in the, or at least one of the metrics that every investor, board member, owner, operator, you name it, that they're interested in, and that's marketing spend ROI. So you know, how much of a return are we getting on our investment into these SEO efforts? And a strong SEO strategy will absolutely improve those metrics.
Nice. Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest things is right now everyone's looking to maximize whatever dollars that they're going to spend to make sure that it's making some kind of impact. And so this is a good conversation or a bit to add, because I think, well, I guess the other question I would say is, you know, what is a worthwhile number of, like, what is the money that you need to be spending to make that spend worthwhile? Because I know you could do some organic SEO things, but when it comes to paid, and I don't know if you cover this later in this conversation, but, you know, what is a good starting strategy as far as how much you should invest as a small business, let's say?
So a lot of that is going to depend on your competition, the competitive landscape, and an experienced SEO professional will say should be able to give you that information. They should be able to use tools and the SEO platforms to say, hey, it looks like, or we have an idea that your competitors are spending this much, and this much. We think that we can get you at least within their range by spending X amount of dollars. And Okay. Hopefully that's less than what they're spending. So I'm always a little apprehensive to just throw a hard dollar amount out there for people, just because it can come back to bite you if it's like, oh yeah, $1,500 a month. And then, you know, you find out that they're trying to compete with Apple or Target or something. It's like, oh, well, you didn't tell me that.
Yeah. Yeah. But okay. Makes sense.
Yep. So wanted to look at a few ways that SEO has changed in 2023, at least the major changes. It's a constantly evolving landscape. You know, one of the first is the Google core algorithm updates and edits. So these are constantly happening. I mean, hundreds, if not thousands a year, but 99% of them are very small in nature. In 2023, the major updates were in, I believe it was March, August, October, and November, with the August update being the one that everyone was talking about. A lot of websites were demoted by Google just due to low quality content. And I've heard stories of people losing, you know, 70, 80, 90% of their organic traffic overnight. Wow. But yeah, yeah. But they kind of had it coming, because, you know, they're just using ChatGPT or whatever AI tool to generate and regurgitate content. And Google picked up on that. So, you know, a lot of the major algorithm updates this year dealt with demoting those low quality sites and improving that user experience. And again, AI tools for everything. I think 2023 could be the year of AI, unless you're a Taylor Swift fan.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish I had a dollar for every single theory that I've heard about how Google ranks or, you know, rates rather AI generated content. And it's tough to, if not impossible, to identify truly AI generated content. We don't really have those tools yet. Mm-hmm. A lot of platforms claim they can, but I've not found any that have proven to be accurate yet. You know, it's not to say that AI shouldn't be used. I use AI on almost a daily basis now. Uh-huh. But should we be using it to recreate or generate long form content or, you know, entire articles? No, just ask Sports Illustrated how that played out for them. yeah, but, you know, things like breaking through writer's blocks, creating summaries, great for creating outlines, even taking a small block of text and saying, you know, prompting, hey, can you reformat this to flow more smoothly? All of these are fair game, and I think will only become more commonplace in the coming year.
And I think that's the pretty major theme most writers or creatives or communications professionals is that we can't really rely on it as a standalone, but it's really a great support tool. And I find myself using it when I'm reposting content on like LinkedIn or something like that. You know how they have their little AI bot that kind of just, it just shuffles kind of your content around to make it sound fresh. And then you can add your little thing to it. So I definitely think it's a great tool to kind of, I like that writer's block thing that you said, you know, it really kind of, you have like, you know, when you have the words at the tip of your tongue, but you can't get them out. And it's a great way to be like, okay, this is what I'm thinking. Can you just help me put this into better words? Because I can't think right now. And I think that's a great way to get past those writer's blocks and those different challenges that we have as content creators that are producing high volume content all the time. One question I have for you, especially with Google's algorithm updates, and you're mentioning the deranking of a lot of websites. And I've used Keyword Planner before and some tools like that. But, you know, based on making sure that you have quality content, is there a source that you go to, and you might have these tools again listed later, but is there a source that you go to kind of determine, okay, these are the things we should be writing about as, you know, a brand, so that we can get the kind of traffic we're looking for?
Yeah. So I'll answer that question without giving too much away a few slides later on. You know, one of the tools I look for, you know, if I'm just trying to identify a trend within a certain area or topic, is Google Trends. Also, you know, when you query Google, it's People Also Ask that will pop up. That is Google's way of saying, please give us more content on these topics. These are the questions people are asking. And if you use those, I mean, that's you I don't want to say double your chances of ranking, but you significantly improve your chances of ranking, just because Google saying, hey, we've kind of got a dearth of information, but people are asking, can you help us out and give us some information?
I love it. Next. I can't wait to hear more.
Video and search results. So this doesn't really come as a surprise, just considering how much video content is being generated these days. So Google is increasingly incorporating video into search queries, especially things that, you know, questions that are how to tie my shoes or something. You're going to have 10 videos pop up before you actually have any, you know, websites or texts or anything. So I think this gives marketing departments an entirely new set of tools. And you can also kind of kill two birds in one stone by doing this, because you don't just have to put that video on YouTube. It can go on all of the video platforms. So you can really spread that that brand awareness just by creating that one asset. And I'll speak to this a little more later on, but it's important to make sure you're optimizing that video for search engines. There's video SEO, just like there is content. Video is content. So making sure you have the descriptions and tags and all of those proper elements implemented, that will make the difference between Google indexing your video or not. And again, we'll get into that a little later on.
And I think that's one thing that people kind of forget to do. They're in the excitement of posting a video. I mean, I know there's times where I do that and times where I don't do that. If I'm doing it for work, I try to put all the headlines in there and the tags and the header one and header two or whatever. But if I'm just posting it for fun, I'm usually not adding all those that description in there. So I think that's something worth pointing out, is to make sure that you do have keywords in your descriptions of the video, because sometimes we fail to do that, thinking that people are going to see the video content or it's transcribed and it's going to pick it up. Like, I don't think it really works out that way.
No. I mean, you treat it just like a blog article or something. You have to have all of those elements. Otherwise, Google will see a video, but you have to give it the signals to help it figure out who the target audience for that video is.
Yeah, it's not watching the video for you.
Right, not exactly.
Yet. Not yet.
Yeah, maybe 2025.
Yeah.
2023 was also the year of the influx of SEO tools and platforms. And I remember just a couple of years ago, you know, you had SEMrush and Ahrefs, and once every 6 or 7 months, some new platform would pop up and it would be popular. People would be talking about it for a couple of weeks and then realize that it was just a copycat of some other thing from the past. And with AI and especially OpenAI's ability to use ChatGPT and other software, man, it's
every week there is a different SEO platform, and there are some really neat concepts, but I'm afraid a lot of it's still just clever marketing. You know, it feels very much like a money grab. You know, these are the salespeople of shovels during a gold rush. So, right. You know, I'm a little leery about incorporating any new SEO tools, and I'm sure my clients appreciate that too, not treating them like a guinea pig or treating their brand identity and web presence like a guinea pig. And you know, gonna have a hard time explaining, well, you know, this new tool came out last week and I tried that. Yeah,
didn't work.
Not gonna go over well. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then lastly, the introduction of GA4 or Google Analytics for everyone's headache this year. So GA4 replaced Universal Analytics, and Universal Analytics has been around for, God, 10 years, you know, I think 2013. Yeah. So 10 years when that was launched. And that is the powerhouse platform that feeds and Google. So, you know, it's feeding all of your website information, your search engine information directly into this. And it's a powerful tool, but I think a lot of the SEO community has kind of been scratching their heads saying, why did this launch? This was, it feels like it was a year away from being a complete product. And I remember back in 2013 when UA launched, it was the same thing. Everybody hated it. And then Google, you know, eventually crafted it and sort of made it this, you know, gold standard for analytics, and everyone loved it. And, you know, just in time for Google to say, yeah, we're done with that. Time for something new.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's the kind of thing, though, like it's going to deliver the most accurate data. It's tied into your Google Tag Manager, hard-coded into your website. So it's, you know, it's not the kind of thing where it's some company just saying, oh, yeah, we think this is how many, this is the estimate of how much traffic your site received. No, this is the most accurate data that you're going to get. So
do you have any suggestions on getting like a quick tutorial on GA4 or anything like that?
Google has a lot of just help articles that I think they're pretty well done. The issue is they're still tinkering with it as well. So I've had a few things where I think it was bounce rate. So GA4 launches and I'm trying to figure out, where did they move bounce rate to? And or no, it's views. So it's like, where did they move views? And they've now, for whatever reason, decided to label that as data streams. And it's, you know, just a headache, but, you know, the help articles and the FAQs on the GA4 support page, they answer at least most of the questions I've had, or just, you know, any of the SEO Reddit forums. Those are usually pretty helpful, or, you know, there's a ton of SEO forums out there. So I think with it being such a new platform, there's not a ton of thorough, you know, start to finish, hey, I've never done SEO, or I've never played with GA4, get me started type programs out there. Yeah. But those, and I would assume that's because nobody wants to create them, because it's still so, it's changing so often that it's going to kind of be a waste by the time they get it edited and published. They could very well be outdated information, as that tends to balance out. You know, I would expect that there's going to be a lot more training programs and tools.
Yeah.
Okay. Otherwise, it's just dealing with the headache until then.
Yeah.
you know, again, these obviously weren't all the changes that happened in 2023, but these were the ones that I think had the most impact, that I saw the most impact from. And I think the SEO community would agree that we're considered the most significant SEO in 2024. I don't think there's going to be a lot of major changes, but, you know, it seems like there's going to be a lot of carryover from 2023. You know, again, AI, it's only going to become more impactful. So kind of like with GA4 and how it's constantly evolving, so is AI, sort of the rules behind AI and how Google views AI. And I mean, it's it's changing daily. Just ask Sam Altman. I mean, he went what employed on a Friday and then unemployed on Saturday and then re-employed by Monday. I mean, it's crazy. So, you know, I'm leery to give any sort of long-term prediction or even a six-month prediction of how AI is going to evolve the landscape of SEO. But what I usually recommend is just stay on top of the news, stay on top of the stories, make sure you're at least keeping an eye on how things are changing. And that way you won't be caught off guard or by surprise when something is actually rolled out or new platforms launched. Let's see, next is answer engine optimization, AEO. It's the offshoot of SEO, but not a replacement of SEO. This is something that Google is implementing. They're just trying to make the user experience for people searching for things much more succinct. So essentially what they're trying to do is get rid of the days where you Google, we'll go with how to tie my shoes again, and you're forced to read a 1500 word article, or you want a recipe and you have to read, how that recipe was bestowed, from someone's great grandmother and what it meant to them.
Before you even get to the recipe. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's such a mess. So one of the ways that they've been working on implementing this are the Google featured snippets. And those are the little, 1 to 2 sentence answers, the blurbs at the top of any search results, and any of those. If you get a featured snippet, that's the win of the month for the an SEO professional.
Okay.
Yeah, those things are huge, and they're working on, and I think this is where Google's using AI to provide sort of those summaries, and your question based queries are going to always, I won't say always, a lot of times you're going to see more and more implementation of the feature snippets. There's not really any official documentation from Google on how to improve your AEO, but what one of the signals, I guess, through the SEO industry that have been unearthed is the just adding, going into your existing content, especially long form content, going into that and any new long form content, and at the very top, adding one of the little FAQ elements. So take 5 questions from that long form content
that we answer in this article, basically.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
And then just have a 1 to 2 sentence. Don't, not even a paragraph. Well, that's the hardest part for me. Just 1 to 2 sentences. And that will certainly help your chances of at least making it to that featured snippet and possibly whatever other answer engine elements that Google rolls out in the coming year.
Huh. Good to know.
Yep. Once again, video content, that's going to continue being a thing in 2024.
We talk about video, but you haven't mentioned audio. What about, and I don't know how that works, but like, what about podcasts and stuff like that?
So I think podcasts, that's, Google is not going to index necessarily audio. It's not necessarily going to listen to the audio, just like it wouldn't watch a video and say, oh, this video is about this. So when it comes to audio, let's say you host a podcast, you want to rely on your own page SEO to boost that and driving that organic traffic there. So making sure you don't have a blank page, hey, this is my podcast page, but then there's no descriptions. It's just next episode. Give those summaries, throw those target keywords in there. That's what's going to make the difference in Google indexing those.
Okay.
As far as video in 2024, actually, I got some figures here. Oh, yeah. So there was a study that came out that found that 51% of people are more likely to share a video now than any other type of content. And that in 2023, 91% of businesses were using video as a marketing tool. 91%. Yeah, I looked everywhere to try to find previous years just to compare the growth, and I couldn't come up with anything.
I mean, just saying 91%, it seems insane. Yeah. It seems insane. Yeah.
But the one that really blew my mind was 89% of people said that watching a video convinced them to purchase a product or service that they had never purchased before.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Thanks, TikTok.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I've made my fair share of TikTok purchases. It's just, I think it's a testament to how things are evolving, you know, how brand messaging and getting that messaging out there is evolving.
Yeah.
Again, you know, like I touched on earlier, though, it's not a matter of just recording a video and throwing it up on YouTube and saying, oh, good to go. You have to add those SEO elements. You have to have your description, your tags, your, you know, your transcripts that you mentioned, even elements like chapters. Google is really big on adding chapters, even to a 10-minute video, 5-minute video, having those chapters as fast forward. And I suspect that they're treating those similar to like the FAQ. So this all goes back to that answer engine optimization.
Yeah. And just giving people an improved customer experience, right? It's like, I use chapters all the time as far as not using them, but like using them to get through a video. I always like scroll ahead to the chapter that I'm actually looking for. Right. So I think, yeah, this is just a way of making content more accessible to people. Right.
Yep. And it also gives Google solid signals to say, okay, here are the chapters. So let's place an ad at the beginning of each one of these chapters.
Each chapter.
they've got to make their money. I get it. They're providing a service. And then the last thing is just refreshing existing content. It's not technically some new and exciting practice of 2024, but I think it's so often overlooked and so valuable that it's worth mentioning in here. You know, I my rule of thumb is revisit some content at least once every 6 months, even if it's just a change of sentence or two, just to signal to Google and other search engines.
And that you're still alive.
Google. Exactly. That this content is still relevant, especially with the shelf life of content today. I mean,
I was going to ask about that shelf life, actually. You're talking about refreshing existing content, and I find it really interesting. And one of the things that the question I have for you is, when you're looking at, let's say, blog content, how far do you, like, how far should you have content back to? You know, like, I probably have blogs that were published in God knows when, you know, I've been doing this for 20 years. So how long does that content stay relevant, or should you keep that like older content on there because it's been, you know, processing for such a long time?
So the first part of that question, you know, you should be refreshed. If it's on your website and it's live, revisit it. If it's so old and it's not relevant, you could probably, and especially if it's not ranking. If you've got something that's ranking top 10, top 20, that's a it's a different set of rules. You want to be revisiting that constantly, you know, once a month. Because it's valuable, it's driving traffic. Something that's, you know, a 15-year-old article that just, you know, maybe ranks 50th or so for the target keyword, revisit it once a year. I mean, that's not low-hanging fruit. You never want to, at least again, in my opinion, it's never valuable, or at least there's no benefit of deleting content. Google just, they don't like to see content deleted. It's kind of like, hey, you're taking stuff away. Why'd you take that away? We were using that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you were using it on page 300 of the search results. Why do you care? But, you know, I think another thing as far as refreshing content is optimizing for speed. You know, you may have a 10-year-old blog that, you know, 10 years ago, those JPEGs that you included, or that video that you included or embedded in that blog, were top of the line, you know, a couple megs. And now that's atrocious. It's crazy to think about that you would have something that large of a file size. So going in there and just optimizing those images to be, you know, new age image sizes, or compressing them so that the page loads faster. That's you know, another metric that's going to signal to Google, or another thing that's going to signal to Google, hey, this page is being touched. You know, they're still being hands-on with this content. Okay. So yeah, you know, I don't think it's the kind of thing where you have to sit down and dedicate a month to updating, you know, content that's 10, 15 years old, but it doesn't hurt to add a couple sentences and, you know, at the top, you know, say updated, and then the most recent data was updated. That's a kind of a go-to, not so much for Google, but, you know, if it does drive some traffic, someone looks at it, if they're like, oh, well, this was published 15 years ago, it's probably not relevant, versus updated last week. Okay, well, I'll check it out.
I guess you kind of know when to put it to bed, right? Like, you need to know when to archive some of the old stuff. And, right. You know, I know, like, as far as, like, let's just say specifically, like, we write a lot of content around CES. So every year I'm like, oh, things to watch out for CES 2020, whatever, right? And if it's old enough, I mean, that's what I guess I'm just asking, if it makes sense to just delete it or update it, or would we take that same article and then update it for 2024 and then just make the update, or would we write something brand new? What would index better?
So if it's already indexed, it's going to remain indexed unless you just do a no follow or something. But what's going to rank better or improve those chances of ranking higher? I think, you know, typically, let's say you've got a CES 2023 article, what to expect in CES 2023, go into that article and refresh your H1. So it's the what to expect in 2023, refresh that and say, you know, update it for 2024. And that way, people who see that in the search engine results, they're going to obviously see that it's been updated, it's for 2024. Mm-hmm. And Google will, you know, they're vague with this, but they have alluded to the fact that, okay, our search engine algorithms, you know, the crawl bots, they see that they're able to distinguish between an article that says 2023 and an article that says 2024. And they're also using those update signals as well.
Got it.
Yep. But yeah, just as long as you're not going through and saying, well, this is all deleted, you should be good, you know. I think you're probably going to be splitting hairs at that point on should I create a new article or update the old one. I guess, you know, if you want a hard answer, if the old article was ranking in top 20, top 30, just update that one. If it didn't rank, just start with a clean article.
Yeah.
And then let's see. So tools for 2024. Again, SEO tools. It was a new thing. There was something new every single week this past year.
Yeah.
Drove me crazy. And I expect a lot of the same in 2024. When it comes to SEO tools, I think it's a bit of a personal choice. You know, whatever works best with your workflow and what integrates with what you do and your process. But so, you know, I won't say that these are must-have tools, but they are the tools that I use the most, you know, 2022, 23, you know, into 24, probably 25. And they're typically the most, I guess, generally accepted go-to tools for SEO professionals. First off is SEMrush. So this has been the gold standard platform for keyword research, competitive analysis, site audits, backlink tracking, everything. Mm-hmm. It's been that way for a few years now. I listed Ahrefs as the runner-up. Those two are, it's like Apple Neck Android. And yeah. So, you know, my personal opinion, Ahrefs has, you know, they've had a lot more frequent, you know, out of nowhere price hikes over the past couple of years. I think they sort of lost that competitive advantage to SEMrush. So yeah, SEMrush has been my primary SEO tool for a while now. I think it's the first tier, base tier is like $130 a month. They'll give you like five projects, and then, you know, it scales up from there. You do have to be careful with SEMrush or Ahrefs, and frankly, a lot of the tools, because the new thing is these little add-on fees. Oh, you want to use our AI processor, well, that's going to cost another $50 a month. Or, you know, oh, this image generator, well, that's $30 a month. Or even worse, the credit system, when you buy credits.
Oh boy, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, if you are remotely serious about SEO, SEMrush, you'll learn very quickly, or Ahrefs, technically, you have to have one of those.
Okay.
Next, Canva. I don't consider myself a graphic designer. I cringe at the thought of having to navigate something like Photoshop or Illustrator just to make a little minor graphic change. So Canva has been a lifesaver. And I think a lot of the SEO community agrees, because we are not graphic designers, at least most of us. Yeah, with Canva, even the free version offers just about everything that I need. I mean, you're not going to be making these intricate animations or billboard quality productions, but that doesn't usually fall into the scope of what an SEO professional is doing anyway. So leave that up to the graphic designers. Yeah, Canva for me, it's a daily driver. So I expect it to stick around for a while.
Yeah.
GA4 and Looker Studio. I know I beat up on GA4 earlier, but it's, even with how it can be a little user hostile, it's still sort of that necessary evil. You know, like I mentioned, it is going to provide the most accurate data for your website. It ties in directly or is hard-coded into your website and integrates with Google Tag Manager. So it's, even though the user side is not perfect, it's solid raw data that you can use. A lot of people, even with Universal Analytics and GA4, a lot of people complain about how it's information overload. It's too much information in one spot. And so Google's response to that was the launch of Looker Studios. It became Looker Studio this year. It was Google Data Studio prior, but that's just another free platform that they use or offer that allows you to feed in your GA4 data to generate, I guess, more digestible reports and visualizations of that raw data. So if you're reporting to a client, something like that can be really useful than trying to explain what every little part and bar and graph means in GA4. And then the Google Search Console, not really anything new. It's a very bare bones platform, but I think it's one that is most often overlooked. I use this one daily. I think technically it's more of a webmaster tool, but it does provide a very concise and clear 30,000 foot view of, you know, more of your technicalities. So indexing issues, making sure that Google's crawling all of the pages of your website. It tells you if there are visibility errors or something that's preventing your site or a certain page from being indexed. And it also gives you some high level oversight into what keywords or search terms are driving the organic traffic to your site. And how, you know, something like blogs are performing. So you're not going to be able to really get that granular data that you would with SEMrush, but GSC, if you're just 5 minutes, I want to check something out, or, you know, I've got 10 clients that I need to make sure they're performing okay, GSC is perfect for that. And it's free tool, ties into the Google's Tag Manager. I always am a proponent of that. I think a lot of people overlook that one.
I have a quick question and something that ran into. Maybe I'll save it for the Q&A.
Fair enough. So let's answer the question. When should I hire a pro? I get it. You know, hiring an SEO professional is, or at least it can be, as intimidating as just trying to understand SEO yourself. You know, a lot of times clients that approach me, I have to answer this question because they're not sure. It's less of a me selling my service than instead answering, can you help me? Is it time for you to help me?
Yeah.
The first off is if you find yourself saying, I don't know where to begin, it might be time to hire a pro, unless you want to, you know, moonlight as an SEO professional. If you've got nowhere or no clue, rather, you know, where to begin, it's going to all begin with a site audit. You know, that's a document that's going to be provided by an SEO professional. It's going to identify all of your low-hanging fruit, all of your current SEO issues, and kind of give you an idea of where you're actually performing well. It's also nice if you're, you know, not really ready to commit to a long-term contract with an SEO pro. It will give you an idea of sort of the quality of work that they deliver. And, you know, an SEO audit, you know, usually those fall into the range of a few hundred dollars, you know, unless you've got some massive website with hundreds of pages or something. So yeah, that a quality SEO audit document is going to serve as your guide or your marketing department's guide or your SEO professional's guide to all of the issues that need to be corrected. And like I said, it'll also let you know kind of where you're excelling. You don't have time to handle it yourself. I get that too. Time's money, and SEO is stupidly time intensive at times. So, you know, you can't expect to, I think a lot of people will read some SEO articles and say, I can do this myself. I can dedicate 30 minutes a week and do this myself. But yeah, don't expect to see results if you're dedicating even an hour or two a week to your brand's, you know, SEO. It's not going to happen, especially if you haven't had an SEO strategy or, you know, performed any optimizations prior to that.
Right.
Let's see. Your site's not driving traffic, even though you're making changes. That's what I see pretty frequently. And it's one of those, it's like, oh, my car won't start. And I've changed the engine. I've changed the oil. I've done all this stuff. And someone just says, do you have gas in it?
Yeah.
Most of the times it's one of those issues. You know, you've got a client who has an excellent SEO strategy. They've done everything by the book. And then they realize that, you know, either by mistake or by default, when something happened or when the site was created, that, you know, they had a nofollow tag in the sitemap or the robots text. So essentially what that would do is tell Google, hey, this site's not ready to be indexed, ignore it. And you can change that, put in a request with Google to re-index, and everything's magically better now. But yeah, you know, don't pull your hair out trying to find every little issue that might be preventing your SEO. If your budget allows, just have someone do it for you. It's gonna save you it's so worth it. You've got the budget, but you don't have the team. So remember, you can have the most revolutionary product or service, but if the world never hears about it, you're kind of dead in the water. I pretty frequently hear new clients describe the scenario of, yeah, you know, we didn't have anybody in the marketing department or in the IT department who did or who handles, you know, dedicated SEO work. So, you know, I just tasked so-and-so to watch a few YouTube videos and take care of things. And, you know, here I am, like, cleaning up the mess now. So,
right.
Yeah, you know, I think if you have a team of engineers, you wouldn't go to them and say, hey, it's time for a new product. I want you to watch a few videos or read a few articles and then develop this new groundbreaking product. So why would you do that with your brand's identity and web presence? Just hire a pro. It'll be worth it. And then lastly is you're just redesigning or migrating your site. This one is overlooked pretty frequently, and it's, in my opinion, I think it's imperative to contract an SEO professional if you're migrating or redesigning your site. And that's just because there are a lot of pretty significant risks when you're doing that can result in your site being significantly demoted and changed. Even in the worst case, just completely de-indexed. You know, Google, when Google indexes your site, it sort of puts this marker in and says, hey, this site lives here. And so if you change to a different server or change your URL or something, and you don't go through the proper channels of signaling to Google, hey, this has currently moved here. Google's just going to say, well, I guess they're not playing here anymore. So delete all this. Right. And in the same time, not really re-index your new site. So even if it's just for the term of, you know, that migration or that redesign, you know, the final steps of that redesign, bring an SEO professional on, and not just anybody who claims to do SEO. There are SEO professionals who strictly, specialize in migrations and redesigns, because that's an entire can of worms in and of itself. But ultimately, you know, if you've hired an SEO professional and you're still on the fence, you know, usually it's a month-to-month or, you know, every 6 months type contract. If you find yourself wondering, is it worth it? Did I make the right decision? Give it some time. Give it 3, 4, 5 months. And the result, you know, check out that Google Search Console. And all the graphs, all the charts should be trending in the right direction. And that should be an indicator that you made the right decision, or in some cases not. But you know, it's never a fun question to have to answer. You know, okay, I'm going to bring us another specialist in, spend some more money. But you know, again, this is your brand's identity and web presence that we're talking about here. So definitely worth it.
All right, awesome.
And that's all I've got. So.
Thank you. I don't know if we have time for my question, which was, I might have forgotten it by now. But if you guys do have any questions, feel free to email me. I'll pass it on to Grady. We had Grady's email at the beginning of it, grady@thesilvertelegram.com. You can reach him there. You can reach him on LinkedIn, Grady Moore on LinkedIn. But I think if you guys have any questions, pass them along. I'm sure we'll be happy to answer them. And yep. I think this had a lot of information, so it's a lot to digest. Take a look at your websites, try some of these new tools, and if you have any questions, shoot them our way. Thank you, Grady, for all this awesome, awesome information.
Yep. Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. Have a great day, and we'll see you in 2024.
Take care.